Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I hate to be the last one after all this great, great preaching, man. I mean, from Sunday to this morning with Val Rodriguez. It's the first time I've ever heard Val, but wow. And I'm going to say it backwards. Wow. And Sister Lisa Flatfoot preached last night. And all the word that's been shared, I'm going to try not to share very long. Now, that can be tough for me, but I'm going to just try because I know it is kind of the hour is getting a little bit late. But I've had the Lord just kind of drop some things in my heart a little bit through the week, and I wrote down just a few scriptures. But I think what we'll do is we'll just begin reading. First of all, let me get Acts chapter 4. If you have a back there with the media, I don't know if they're going to do this or not, but Acts chapter 4, verse 6 is where I'm going to begin tonight. But you know, I'm just so thankful for the heritage that we see here. You know, what's really nostalgic for me is that we lifted our hands a while ago and said that there are children here whose parents attended this camp. I hope you weren't conceived here. I shouldn't have said that. Hallelujah. But I got your attention, right? They were not. Hallelujah. And I don't want to get the big head. Daniel already had the big purple head. Hallelujah. But, you know, what's nostalgic for me is that 35 years or 36 years for me of a full-time mobile, but maybe more than that, I'd have to look at the calendar. And I'm preaching for people that grew up in this youth camp who are now senior pastors or they are professionals in some business or whatever. So we've seen the long-term fruit of this. And to me, it is very nostalgic to see that this is probably one of the most fruitful things I believe we've ever done. And this is a unique place. And, you know, what's unique about it is not that we've got the greatest facilities, but that the presence of the Lord is in this place. And, you know, it's really not about a theology as much as it is about a real encounter with the Lord. If we can create an atmosphere where people can, you know, what's so sad to me is many places that I go today don't really take time to encounter the presence of the Lord. And that's really the key in all of this. And so I just wanted to make some remarks tonight. I want to begin verse 6, Acts chapter 4. Well, they don't have it on screen, but I'll read it from my iPad. And Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" This, you know, just to set the stage for you, a miracle had just occurred. The apostles are now being hauled in front of the religious leaders and asked them, "By what power, by what name have you done this?" And then here's a key verse for me. It said, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost." Say that with me. "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost." See, the key ingredient is the Holy Ghost. And what I want to talk about tonight is I want to show you a little bit of a shift here with this same guy who was at a campfire one night and he wasn't so brave, but he didn't have the Holy Ghost then. And then there's a complete different change. You know, there's a place in the scripture where it talks about that our sufficiency. Here's the thing. Even in our braveness, it's not some kind of a emotional stir that we just want to just ramp you up and stir you up. And yeah, that's part of it a little bit. But really, it's really coming to a place where there's a boldness and a braveness that comes as a result of the Holy Spirit empowering you to do what you do. I mean, if Jesus is not the center of it, it's just, you know, us trying to pump it up or make it look good. But it says that Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "You rulers of the people and the elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he was made whole." I don't know how you'd feel about this, but if I'd just been there and some guy who couldn't walk for his whole life gets up and starts walking and leaping and praising God, you know, I'm not going to get into some theological debate. I'm going to think, man, wow. You know, these guys, what's amazing to me is they never look into the story like, man, somebody with an issue of blood was just healed. A blind eye just opened. A deaf ear was just unstopped. I mean, they just want to talk about, well, he did it on the Sabbath day. We don't like the how, you know, what, this, that, the other thing. But the reality of it is I think I'd have just been happy to see such a powerful miracle of God. I'm convinced that we'd see a whole lot more miracles if we could get people to quit murmuring. And note that this is not coming from the world. It's coming from religious leaders, because sometimes we sit around and scrutinize everything that happens to the point where we can't just get in and enjoy it. We want to analyze it, say, did they sing it like we do? We find fault with the phrase, well, the devil's defeated, or, you know, and you all talk about the devil or whatever. And you know what? We get into all these things where we're warring in our minds about this song, that song. Did they do it this right? Do they have that formula? It's like, get over yourself, get rid of your religious spirit, and just let God move, because sometimes it gets crazy when God moves. And if you're not willing to risk it getting crazy when God moves, you'll never see the power of God. And I think sometimes we want it neat and tidy, but the truth of it is it's not always neat and tidy. Sometimes you just got to just let God have his way and just kind of clean up after it's done. But it says, if we this day be examined of the good deed done of the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, he said, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there any salvation in any other name, for there is none other name given under heaven, name under heaven given among men, whereby men must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, somebody say, I'm qualified here. I just made the list. Hallelujah. They marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And behold, the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they confirmed among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem. We cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor to teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? You know, I think some of the most powerful people I've ever met are not always the most educated. Now, I certainly am not diminishing the need for education. Because I'm going to tell you something. You know, I had one of my English teachers that came up to me in an event back some time ago, and she said, I have read all your books. And I was really totally shocked that she even knew I'd read a book or written a book. See, read a book is probably what she thought, too. And she said to me, I've read all of your books. You did a phenomenal job. I'm really proud of you. And I said, you know what? If I knew I was going to affect this many people, I would have paid a whole lot more attention in your class. There's a plug for you, Scott. You know, you ought to pay attention when you're in history class and English class. And because some of my weakest stuff is in, you know, I start a book with a capital, I end it with a period, and send it to editors and let them figure out where to put the commas and the other marks, you know. Did I get my grammar right? But I think of my own dad, who was probably one of the most powerful men I've ever met. Not eloquent in speech, but it was evident he'd been with Jesus. I think of Victor Maldonado, who went home to be with the Lord, who Stephen dropped off some of his young people here for the campus, still runs the Outreach for Youth, which is a drug rehabilitation center in Columbus, Ohio. One of the most powerful men I've ever met, but not have a whole lot of education, but it was evident they'd been with Jesus. And you get in a restaurant with my dad or Victor and get to pair them together, and you could probably, if you're going to be embarrassed about anything, if you ain't brave, don't go with them to a restaurant, because they liable to get a jerk on them or a shout right there in a restaurant, and Victor would holler, hey, thank you. You ask for prayer in Walmart, they're going to be clean up on aisle three because they're going to lay hands on you. Not they go pray for you when you get home. They're going to lay hands on aisle three at Walmart. But it's evident they'd been with Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't think myself to be an educated man myself, but I tell you the truth, the things that God has done in my life is nothing short of the glory of God being all his. Because, you know, I said one time, if you ever see a turtle on a fence post, he had to have some help to get there. Come on, somebody, help me a little bit. Amen. And so, you know, somebody said, well, how do you get there? You know, we're talking about being brave and heading for your destiny. And, you know, let me just say this to you. It's not just your destiny, but it's the journey. In other words, don't get so caught up in the destiny that you forget to enjoy the journey. Because the whole journey sometimes is about getting, you know, it's all about your development. It's all about, you know, some of the things places I preached growing, you know, as I was younger. You know, I used to think, Lord, you know, why am I here? But it was really not so much. I don't know if I was even a blessing to those people. But they were a blessing to me to at least give me a chance to preach. That's why we do what we do here by handing the microphone to somebody that nobody else maybe would hand a microphone to, is because there may be gifts and miracles locked up in vessels you didn't think was there. And see, the way to the palace many times is not by trying to find somebody in the palace. The way to the palace for Joseph was a guy he shared a cell with in prison. The guy you think nobody, the guy you marginalize and don't think is valuable, was actually the key that got him into the palace. So the guy you're passing by while you think you're getting to somebody that's bigger is maybe the guy that will be the key. Are you hearing where I'm coming from? So just enjoy the journey. And everything, as you look back at it, you don't see it when you're coming through it, but you start seeing, as you get somewhere, you start to look back, hey, God orchestrated this stuff. This was God. You know, in other words, we see now, you know, with our particular ministry, you know, the Lord has been really good to us. And, you know, we went on 3 new networks in the last 2 weeks. We just went on 3 more television networks, national networks. Somebody said, how do you do it? You know, all I can tell you is like this. Are you ready for this? This is going to be deep and profound. One step at a time. And what Lisa preached was so powerful. Go find your slingshot, because you got to take your first step. So the first step to getting to there might be picking up a guitar and learning how to play it, if that's what your dream is. Are you hearing where I'm coming from? It might be paying attention to that history teacher or that English teacher who's going to teach you how to punctuate, because you're going to write books. It's going to go around the globe. I'm just a little bit tore up as I stand up here tonight. I just got off the phone just an hour ago with 100 pastors in Brazil who are planning for us to come in Brazil. And it's amazing to me that they even know who I am. But the 100 pastors, leaders, planning for us to come there and begin to share the gospel of grace and the gospel of the kingdom with them. And you know, as I look back at it, I think, Lord, you know, I hope I'm equipped for some of this, you know. it's, you know, can I tell you something? Listen, sometimes I need some bravery. I still get Belshazzaritis sometimes. Somebody said, what's Belshazzaritis? When Belshazzar stood before the king, the Bible said his knees knocked and his bowels was loosed within him. So Belshazzaritis is knocking knees and loose bowels. Anybody ever had that when they stood up? Come on, somebody. But the boldness, I'm telling you, the boldness has to come from the Holy Ghost, because there are moments when you know, come on, that you ain't got nothing to say, that it ain't about you, it ain't because you did, and I believe in doing the preparation, but can I tell you some of the most powerful stuff that's happened is when I really didn't think I had anything. And walk out on a platform saying, I'm trusting you, Holy Ghost, and if you don't show up, the only thing I know I can do for sure is close in prayer, because I committed one of them to memory just in case he don't show up. Hallelujah, but if you trust the Holy Ghost, the moment the Holy Ghost comes, your bravery will start to come and a boldness will stand up inside of you, that it doesn't matter if Caiaphas or whoever it is standing there saying, don't speak in that name. There's something rises up in you and said, I've been with Jesus and I can't help but talk about my experience. I can't help but talk about what God did for me. And if you don't have nothing to share but your story, if you don't have nothing to share but your testimony, somebody needs to know God is a healer. Somebody needs to know that God can deliver you from drugs. Somebody needs to know that God healed you of cancer. Come on, somebody. God, somebody needs to know. So the bravery that rises up in you comes from the power of the Holy Ghost. And I can tell you, man, that I can remember one time, especially in my, I started preaching. I knew I was called to preach when I was 9. So I thought at that time I was just having home devotions. So I told Dad, I said, the Lord called me to preach. And I thought I was had to go pack my bags and leave home. You know, I'm nine. I'm thinking I'm not ready to go on the road. And Dad said, "Well, I'll tell you what. Don't go on the road yet." He said, "Go up in your room and get before the Lord. Get a word, and you share tonight in home devotions." I got up that night in home devotions. I preached an entire minute and a half. Now I can't even clear my throat in a minute and a half now. I wish I could do it in a minute and a half now, you know. But then I got about 16, 17, and, you know, maybe 18, I don't know, somewhere in that range. And I thought, you know, I'd preached a couple times, and boy, the Lord really had used me, you know. Just really come on you, and you just preach a masterpiece that's beyond you, and you just. And I can remember one time Hennis Fox asked me to preach while he was going to kind of take his pulpit, and I was so flattered. I thought, boy, thank, you know, I must be good. I mean, pastor has asked me. And, man, I had a three-piece suit on, and I had studied. Man, I thought I had a word. I thought I had a deep word. And I'm thinking to myself, you people are lucky to have me tonight. And I remember walking on that platform thinking, Lynn Howes, you are a natural. You just got it, man, you know. And I'll never forget. I walked up to that platform with my three-piece suit on, opened my Bible, and the Holy Spirit said to me, "Okay, Mr. Natural, preach to him." That was one of the few times I had to use that closing prayer. Because the Holy Ghost didn't come on me. He let me learn a very valuable lesson. That this ain't about you. It's not about your might or your power, how talented you are, how smart you think you are, or how smart. Listen, if the one thing the scripture put, they were said, these are ignorant and unlearned men. Of course, that depends on who you talk to. And what you think is wisdom, what you think is smart, because I think they were the smartest men in the party. But they were underestimated, and somebody didn't value what God had placed in them through the relationship, and so their dependence. And when Peter stood up this time by the power of the Holy Ghost, he began to rear back, and he wasn't going to shut his mouth. But you know what? I remember the night before Jesus was about to be crucified. They're sitting around a table, and you know, all of these guys, all of them. See, we don't ever think about the other guys besides Judas. But Jesus looks these guys in the eyes the night before his decease. It's his last supper with them, last meal. And he looks, I could just see him look across the table and say, listen, this is my body, as he begins to break the bread. And he says, listen, this is my body. It was broken for you. And we think about him serving communion to the faithful men, but everybody at the table is going to leave him before the night's over except for John. John's the only one, and the women. Thank God for women. Come on, somebody. It was the ladies that followed through. They were probably the bravest in the bunch. Come on, somebody. Help me preach a little bit. Thank God for the women of God. I looked around this week, and, man, I'm proud of our team. I'm proud. Man, Trish, I saw Trish work at this altar like a champion a while ago. Or, you know, all week, you know. I saw Crystal and these different ones. Men, these kids, you know, powerful women of God. But I could see Jesus, you know, we think of him looking, but I see him even take even Judas. He looks right straight across. He knew Judas was going to betray him. I see him even do what Judas said. Look at me, listen. You see, this is my body. I know everything you're going to do before the night's over. I just need you to know I got you covered. It's my body is broke for you. In other words, everything, and then Peter standing there and sitting there, and Jesus looks at him and said, look at me, Pete, look at me. This is my body. It's broken for you. And Jesus begins to talk about what's going to happen. And Peter says, Lord, man, I'm with you, man. I got your back, Lord. Man, I'll die with you. And Jesus said, Peter, would you? And he said, listen, I know you mean well, and I know you got pumped up on the be brave thing. But before the rooster crows, before the rooster crows, before it hits, you know, tomorrow morning, you're going to deny me three times, but I need you to know this. This is my body. It was broken for you. How many know what Jesus did on the cross was because he knew you had weakness? It's because he knew you would fail. One of the things is the Lord really began to say to me about even the gifts of the Spirit, I really believe that God wants to ignite the gifts of the Spirit in even young people and young generations, because I believe that this is not just for church. And it doesn't have to be spooky or weird. It's just, but I believe the word of knowledge can operate in you in the cafeteria. I believe the working of miracle can happen, come on the football field. Somebody got hurt, and you're bold enough by the Holy Ghost to rise up, lay your hand on them, speak a word, and see God heal somebody in a train station or someplace else. And see, I believe Jesus did more miracles when there wasn't an organ playing and there wasn't any music playing. The Lord said to me on my way to South Carolina a couple years ago, he said to me, I was driving, he said, listen, son, talking about the gifts of the Spirit, prophecy and word of knowledge and the working of miracles and healings and tongues and interpretation and the word of wisdom and the gifts of the Spirit. He said to me, son, they're grace gifts. And I said, Lord, I know that. And he said to me a second time, he said, son, they're grace gifts. I said, Lord, I know they are. He said, no, listen, son, they're grace gifts. And so when he said it to me the third time, I thought, evidently, I'm not getting what he's trying to say to me. And so when I got to the room and I looked up the word where it talks about the gifts of the Spirit, the word gifts there is the Greek word charismata, where we get our Greek word grace. They're grace gifts. And the Lord said to me, I don't do it because of you. I do it in spite of you sometimes. In other words, I don't do it because you glow in the dark. I do it because it's a grace gift. I do it so you can see that the treasure is in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God. And you know what? This ought to help somebody. Because if you've ever seen a great preacher that you admired fell, what they call fall from grace. See, the only way you fall from grace is not to fall into sin. If you fall into sin, you don't fall from grace. When you fall from grace, it's when you go back up under law. That's what the apostle said, falling from grace. You've fallen from grace because you went back up under law. But they felt they were still in grace. But here's the thing that happens. We see somebody great or somebody that we admire or somebody who we thought was more spiritual than us have a weakness. And we say, was it real at all? The answer is, yes, it was. Because they were just as human as you are, except that it was a grace gift. In other words, God did it because he's good. Maybe this is too real, but this is where people are at, and that's why they don't let God use them. It's like you better use Lisa because she glows in the dark. And you don't know, Lisa and Dan might have fought all the way to church, kicked the kids, beat up the cat. Well, I should have said kicked the cat, beat up the kids. Lisa never gets mad. Hallelujah. Come on, anybody, any ministers in the house ever been on your way to church? And it wasn't the best morning you ever had. You and the wife fell out on the way there. You threatened, don't make me pull this car over. If I pull this car over... Somebody ain't going to make it to church this morning. Jesus going to get you before the afternoon's over. And you get in service and you walk through the door because, you put on your precious Jesus face. God bless you. Bless coming in. Bless going out. Just threatened to kill the kids 5 minutes ago. You know what I mean? You really hadn't studied. You hadn't really prayed. It's been a bad week. And the Holy Ghost, you're thinking, I hope the Holy Ghost takes over so I don't have to preach. Is that too real? And you're sitting there thinking, I don't have a thing to say, and God starts to move on you, and man, you're thinking, Lord, you better move on somebody else because I'm not even sure I'm saved about right now, And man, God show up and show off. And your wife is looking at you like, you hypocrite. You just killed the kids. I shared this all over the country, but I love to watch moms in a service. Mothers, they're sitting there, and I love this. We sit on a platform. You see a whole lot on the platform. Oh, God. Oh, Jesus, I love you, Lord. Lord, you are good. Bam! Thank you, Jesus. Touch your neighbor, say grace gifts. God uses us in human vessels, man, that the excellency of the power is of God. And I just want to make it really real. I'm not any different than anybody else, nor is Pastor Lisa or these other men of God. We just got to the point where we realize it's God. The pressure's off. If the Holy Ghost don't show up, we in real trouble. We might as well close and go home. Don't fake it till you make it. Just close in prayer and save everybody the aggravation. Are you hearing where I'm coming from? And so I just want to say to you, young people, God wants to use you in all kinds of ways. And it may not be that you feel like you glow in the dark holy or that you've got it all together, all your T's crossed or your I's dotted. If you're going to wait till that happens, you're never going to be used of God. And that doesn't mean that it's okay to act the way, you know, to kill the kids and threaten, the, you know. But what it ought to do is the goodness of God then would lead me to repent. It's like when I come out of that atmosphere where God was so good, I think, Lord, you know, why'd I act like that? You know, help me not to act like that tomorrow. See, are you hearing where I'm coming from? But I just want to say that it's not just for special people or, you know, glow in the dark. And I think so many times we have to get, you know, folks to be able to flow. I've heard the Lord say to me just recently, he said, there are many weak and sickly among us because we don't discern the Lord's body. And I know that means that we can discern what he did through his death, his burial, and his resurrection that paid for our healing and our forgiveness of sin. But you know what? We know that and we preach that. But the next chapter starts talking about his body being members in particular, and that God has put into different vessels, different things, giftings according to their several ability and according to your proportion of faith. I was standing in a church in Huntington, West Virginia, and I'm standing there, and a little kid, 9 years old, standing on the platform. Pastor just laid hands on him and just, you know, stirred up the gift of God in him, said, I want you to go find somebody that you feel like God's drawn you to and just either speak the word over them or lay hands on and pray for them. Whatever. This kid locked eyes with me on the platform, and I knew when he left the platform, he's going to get to me, and I'm going to get healed. I got healed. I mean, instantly healed, standing right there with a 9-year-old kid praying for me. Don't ever feel intimidated by me. Listen, don't feel intimidated, because I need what you got in you. That's why there's a lot of dead preachers, is because we couldn't receive from somebody who we thought was less than them. You know what was crazy about that? I was just in a meeting the week before that where they were teaching their people, don't ever lay hands on somebody that's above you spiritually. And I'm trying to get in my mind, who's that? You know what I'm saying? Or somebody that's beneath you, I'm sorry, don't pray. Or somebody that's above you, don't. So in other words, they were disqualifying everybody, like I glow in the dark and bless God. No, I'm going to tell you something. I've seen God heal people when I was sicker than they was. And if it wouldn't be for the anointing, I have to stand there and hold the podium until the anointing would come on me. Then you feel like you could leap a tall building in a single bound. You're more powerful than a locomotive and faster than a speeding bullet. But if you don't get back to the hotel room before the anointing lifts off of you, they're going to have to take you back there on a stretcher. Seriously. And thank God, why is that? And the only thing I can tell you is because the body of Christ has got to function and every joint has got to supply, and it's no little Holy Ghost, as Lisa said. I'm telling you, man, miracles, and I believe healings are in people. And if the scripture said many are weak and sickly among us and many have fallen asleep in death because we didn't discern the Lord's body. Somebody said, well, if you don't do it, God will use somebody else. Well, evidently not, or they wouldn't have fallen asleep. Somebody asked me last night, well, what do you do? You know, sometimes I feel the urge, like I get an urge and I want to feel like I want to minister to people. I said, well, if it's edifying, if it's comforting, and it builds them up, you can't miss anyway. Go to them and man, just do it. How many of you got the Holy Ghost already tonight? Let me just see your hand a minute. You know, so you already know how this works a little bit. You know, that's wonderful, man. I think that is incredible. Is that, you know, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, even when those of you who don't have it or haven't received it yet, when it comes on you, if you just be really brutally honest here tonight, how many know that God don't just grab your jaw and just smack it a little bit and your tongue goes wild, and when you come to, you know, you got the Holy Ghost. Now, I know we get slain in the Spirit and that kind of stuff, but how many know that what had to happen was what you were hearing in your mind, you engaged in your tongue. In other words, God gave the utterance, but you spoke. Scripture. And they spake with tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. And so that impression that came to your mind to speak in tongues, and you just begin to say it, and your faith began to grow. What happened was you didn't pray through. Your faith just got bold enough to say, I'm going to try this. And it was like breaking a hole in a dam. The water started to flow out, and the river started to flow, and it started to get really going. Prophecy works the same way. Word of knowledge works the same way. It'll come to you in just like a strong impression, or you'll see something, or works different for different people. It's not an audible voice. There can be that. But somebody asked me the other day, I said, here's how you do. I'm just being real practical tonight. You may look, you know, I was just in a place in Kalamazoo, Michigan, and the pastor was real unique, and she would start the service and just open up worship. And then she said, now I just want you to take a minute and just look around the room, and if you see anything, just share it. See something about somebody. And so, you know, somebody would say, well, I see, like, you know, it was like, it might even be something kind of crazy. Like, I saw a cartoon, or I saw
when I looked across the room, I saw Superman. You know, and so it was like a prophetic word that would begin to flow like that. And so, you know, some of the ways that I've learned how to hone the gift a little. Is this okay? Yeah. Is that, you know, there's been times in my ministry where the Lord would give me, for instance, like we were in, I believe it was in Pennsylvania. I'm trying to remember when, it doesn't matter. But I called this guy out by his first and last name. Told him his doctor's name and the medication he was on. Never met him before in my life. You don't guess that. My mom was with me, I think, in Oklahoma City, and we were ministering, and I called this guy out by his first and last name, and it wasn't Bob Smith, his name. I still remember to this day because it's burning my mind. His name was Therrell Boulware. You don't guess that. I said to him, does Therrell mean anything to you? He said, that's my first name. I said, then your last name is Boulware. So you say, how did you get to that? Now, that's not always that accurate, and you don't have to try to get that accurate, but what I'm saying is, how'd you do that? Somebody said, asked me last night some of these questions, and I said, well, what happens is there would be times when I would feel like the Lord was showing me something that I felt like, for instance, I'd say, I felt like Lisa's having a pain in her right side, or I'm sensing something's going on, but I wasn't bold enough to come over and say, listen, sister, there's a pain in your right side down here, you know. But I would call it out in general. I'd say, there's somebody in here that's got this pain. So how I did it first was, I thought I knew who it was. Yeah. So I would say it out like this and see if that person responded. 93% of the time, it was that person, and it built enough faith in me so that after I saw it enough time, you understand, we grow in faith, and the gift grows. It's just like playing basketball. The more you do it, the more it flows. And I feel a little convicted because sometimes I think I have developed so much into preaching, and that but by the time I'm done preaching, this time is gone, and I kind of hold back some time and going ahead and pushing through to minister prophetically to people. But nevertheless, what I'm trying to get you to see is I want to make it simple so people don't think you got to be some great evangelist for God to use you. God probably has already been talking to you. He's already been speaking, or he's already, so, and you know, what I want to do is encourage you that it probably is the Lord. And what happens if you miss it? What happens if you don't miss it? That's how I look at it. I've said to people, listen, I said, this may not be you, but I can just tell you, I'd rather tell you this and see you get healed than to go home and not share it. Are you hearing where I'm coming from? Because the Spirit will bear witness. Let me come back here just a little bit. The boldness comes from the Holy Spirit. Now, here's Peter the night before the Lord's decease, and he's just been, Jesus just looked him in the eye and said, listen, man, this is my body. It's been broke for you. As often as you know, he said, he looks him straight in the eye, this is my body. And he says, Pete, listen, man, before the rooster crows, you're going to betray me. And Peter says, Lord, I'll die with you. And now listen, man, he gets up and they go out the next morning and day breaks. And Peter pulls the sword out of the sheath of the Malchus, the servant of the high priest, and cuts that dude's ear off. Now, how many know he is ready to rumble? In other words, he means it still. He doesn't cut somebody's ear off. I think weird stuff. Like, I wonder what happened that evening with Malchus. I wonder what he told his wife that night. Yeah, I was going to arrest this dude. His buddy cut my ear off. And then his buddy healed me, and I had a hard time arresting him. I wonder how that affected his life. It doesn't tell the stories about that. I wonder about Barabbas. I wonder what happened with Barabbas the evening after he's let out of jail. I wonder if he went back the same life he had, or if he was changed by that. I guess the reason it doesn't tell us that story is because every one of us have the same story to decide how it does end. What am I going to do? You know, hallelujah, after Jesus puts my ear back on. What am I going to do after Jesus becomes my substitute? You know the story. I don't have to go into a lot of details about it, but Peter denies the Lord, and he's bold right up to that point. I mean, he is bold until he gets to the campfire, and there's a damsel at the campfire. Now, I may be reading something into this story here, but he was ready to fight out there on the field when he had, you know, the sword, and, you know, well, let's just go. You know, he's ready to get it done. But now he's standing at the campfire, and there's a damsel there. See, I'm talking about bold when you get back to school. And that really looking good looking girl is there. Or that really good looking guy is there. And now, see, I could fight you on the playground over Jesus. But now that it may not look so cool to talk about I love Jesus, do I have boldness now? You hear where I'm coming from? And so, you know, he says, he begins to deny the Lord. And, you know, you heard Justin Phillips preach a number of years ago about when the rooster crowed. He didn't crow. We say the rooster crowed to rat Peter out, but really what the rooster was doing was announcing a new day. He's saying, listen, Pete, yesterday, you tried on your own strength. See, here's the deal. Peter didn't have the Holy Ghost there. When I think about all these stories we've preached about David, great things he did. Goliath is killed. You know, the city's taken. None of them had the Holy Ghost. Man, none of them had the power tools. Y'all getting too quiet on me. But you got the power tools. Man, I'm telling you what, you are more powerful than you can imagine. I was so blessed by, man, Val was preaching this morning, and he said, you know what? Joshua and Caleb had to walk around for 40 years waiting on them dudes that had the bad report to die off while he was pouring into another generation and saying, this is what I saw in a promised land. I want to tell you, this is what's there for the taking. You know what really amazes me is we look at even that, you know, which says, whose report will you believe? And we diminish it to be the doctor or the devil give us. But you know what? Of course, you know, Liza's here today, and sometimes she said, I feel like the enemy when I go to church because they're saying, don't believe that evil report that doctor gave you. It's like they're not lying to you. That's the fact. But there's something that trumps the fact, and that's the truth. So you got to get the facts, but you could believe the truth. The truth is Jesus did something about this. Are you hearing where I'm coming from? So the report, what I was thinking this morning, even as Val was preaching, is the report wasn't coming from the devil. It wasn't coming from the doctor. The report was coming from their religious leaders. They had preached a message to them that was stealing their future. Boy, I feel the preacher a little bit here. And I'm trying to circle the land. I said, we have set under theologies that have tried to rob you of your future. Come on, somebody. But somebody's going to get bold and say, listen, there's another spirit in me. While you may talk about how bad it is and how bad the politics are and all the reasons we can't do it, there's another spirit on this generation that says, listen, you ain't going to steal my future. You're not going to take my destiny. There's something in there that I didn't come where you came from. I don't remember the whips and chains of Egyptian slavery. I was born to live in a promised land. Hallelujah. And I want to keep on preaching until the generation grabs a hold of this because the bad thing is the bad report has come from the religious leaders, except for Joshua and Caleb came back and said, you are not going to believe the size of the grapes over there. There are grapes as big as pumpkins, man. And we're well able to take it. And so they got up and they began to look at that. Somebody else mentioned this from the very get-go. See, I have given you the city. I put that in my note. What do you see? What I see is God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Val said this morning when this great country was founded, Princeton, Yale, Harvard, all schools that were schools of theology have become schools of liberal think tanks now. Just hundreds of years later, I believe God wants to turn this thing around where we get back to a theology that empowers people and preaches, listen, not how big an enemy is, but how big our God is and how, come on, the possession and the promise of God. Hallelujah. So I want to pour into a generation that'll believe we can take it because I believe God wants us to take back the music industry. He wants us to take back the entertainment industry. He wants us to take back politics. He wants us to take back the financial system. He wants some to, come on somebody, that the blessing of the covenant of God is that he will bless us and give us the power to get wealth so his covenant can be established. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. That's who it belongs to. Touch somebody, say, you ain't gonna take mine. I sit in Tulsa in November Holy Spirit began to say something to me personally out of Hebrews 11. I'm sure it spoke to other people. But he said to me very simply, he said, you can choose to live in the plushness of Pharaoh's palace and to enjoy the pleasures of sin, which literally means missing the mark for a season. And it will be good for you, because how many know that Moses was the heir apparent to the throne of Ramesses and could have been the emperor of Egypt without any pain? He could have chose the plushness of the palace. But he went out one day and he saw one of the slave masters beating one of his fellow servants. And what he was called to be rose up in him. And he had to become what he was, and that was a deliverer. And when he became what he was called to be, sometimes it'll put you out of the plushness of the palace and on a 40-year camping trip in tents with people that don't want to go camping. And the Holy Spirit, this is my own personal. The Holy Spirit said to me, listen, son, I know if I modify my message a little bit, I'd have access to a whole lot bigger platforms. But the truth of it is what I begin to see is that really it's not about the plushness of the palace or what's in it for me. But what drives me is another generation. When I look at this youth camp and I look at my grandbabies and I look at my kids and I look at my heritage, from my great-grandmother to my grandmother to my mother to my daddy to my kids to my kids' kids, on my wife's side, her daddy was a preacher, traveled with him in my first years of ministry, gave me an opportunity to lead worship, learn how to prophesy, moving the gifts through him. The heritage that's there and saying, you know what? Hallelujah. I'd rather see, this is what floats my boat. It's not listen, I'd rather be here than anyplace else, because the move of God is here and the generation that we're pouring into. This is a whole lot more effective than preaching to thousands of people. If we could just equip you and get you to see that this is a generation that's rising up that will not die in the wilderness, that will begin to turn things around in our nation. If you want a future, come on, somebody. I said our future is set here, and it's not tomorrow. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And I want to say this as well. Listen, don't ever think, because we're preaching some of the stuff that you got to stand on a platform or have a TV ministry or be a doctor or a missionary. Listen, I'm telling you, one of the most noble calls on the planet is to be a good mom. You know, my wife said, I said to her the one day, I guess one of the kids asked her, you know, what's your dream? And she said, I'm living my dream. I wanted to have kids. I want to be a mom. And I wanted to raise my kids. Can I tell you something? Listen, if there's not a Joyce, there's not a Lynn. Come on, there's just very few women could kind of stand behind somebody that's in planes, trains, and automobiles about half of our lives and raise some kids. Listen, she poured as much in these two boys that you hear preaching and singing. She laid up auto harp on her belly when Jason was in her womb, because a prophet told her, sing to him, praise. He came out just about playing something. He's beat on something ever since he got out, hallelujah, and played something. But see, you impart something. And say, what I'm saying is there something here in this room. Or something, and I say this with more confidence than I've ever said it before, because I've seen the history. Some of the most powerful people in the world are in this room, and you just don't know it yet. And as you take one step in front of the other and you get your slingshot, and the first thing you do is throw your first rock. And then you pick up another rock, and first thing you know, you're a giant killer. Next thing you know, come on, you're singing in the palace. Next thing you know, you're the king in the palace. Next thing you know, come on, you're running an army and you're training another generation. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. And you start to impart what you've got, because success without a successor is not success at all. And so the reality of it is that we pour into this. And you know what? One final thought in this. You know, I was thinking about this guy in the book of Judges. He only gets two scriptures. Man by the name of Shamgar. The Bible said Shamgar killed 600 Philistines with an ox goad. It says he was a farmer. And then the other verse says, in his days, the highways were unoccupied and the people had to go the byways and they had to circumvent it, and they always went down through the byways, and the cities were unoccupied because the highways were closed because of the Philistines. But one day a farmer got up, just a farmer, country boy, hallelujah, maybe uneducated, unlearned men, if you will, And he got up this one particular morning, and he'd had all he could take of what was going on in his world because he could see that the cities were unoccupied. You know, that the cities can be whatever you think it is, but the real thought to me is that the highway was closed. In other words, that the only way they could get there was because of fear and intimidation of these Philistines. They'd have to slip down through the woods, take the side path down by the creek through the briars and up over and be the long way around. And I kind of picture this old farmer getting up one morning and things have not been going real good. It was one of them bad days I talked about a while ago. And the plow was broke. The cow didn't want to go. You know what I'm talking about? And the cow, he's having to force the cow down through this, and he's done this every day of his life because the highways have been closed. He's been backed down and intimidated by everything that can back you down and intimidate you until he just got tired and sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I think one day he come across that road, and I think when he come out of the field plowing that day, maybe the plow broke. Maybe the cow wasn't plowing right. Things wasn't going good, and he started to cross that road, that highway, and he thought to himself, I wish I could take the highway home today, but the highway has been closed by Philistines. And he crossed that road and went down over the hill time after time after time, taking the path of least resistance because he just wasn't brave enough. He didn't think because he was not a military strategist. He's a farmer. All he wanted to do is plant a seed in the ground, watch it grow, harvest his crops, go home, raise his kids, have some biscuits and gravy and sausage gravy with sliced tomatoes in it. I wish I could get some help up in here. But this particular day, Miss Shamgar burned his toast. The coffee was cold. The cow wasn't working good. And the plow broke. He started across that road this particular day, and he looked to the left and he looked to the right, and he said, you know what? I have had all I'm going to take. I'm taking the highway home today because this is my road. And woe be to anything gets up in my face on my road today because I'm going to clean the highway up. Come on, anybody ever feel like, come on, somebody. You ever feel like I've been backed in a corner? I've been backed in a corner and made, come on, to be marginalized and not be able to say my convictions or speak my heart or, you know what I'm talking about? Hallelujah. But I feel like something rises up in you and somewhere you're going to come to a place where you say, this is my road and I'm going to take my road. And ain't nobody else can take my road for me, but I'm going to tell you what happened. Mr. Shamgar stuttered down that road and that first Philistine jumped up in his face. He reached for that ox goat. He did not have a sword. He didn't have a Scud missile. He didn't have a 9mm in his hip pocket. He had an ox goat. But what he did do is he backed up in the cleft of a rock. I wish I could get some help now. Hallelujah. He backed up in the rock. Come on, somebody. I said he backed up in the rock. And when he backed up in a rock, he took that ox goat. And when he was done, 600 men, I could see him back up in that rock. Come on, with that ox goat. And he looked at them Philistines and say, jump on my chest and wrinkle my vest. Because go ahead and make my day. How many bullets did I shoot? 5 or 6. But whatever he said. Yeah. When he was done, there was a pile of dead Philistines laying in the road. And he took the highway home, and Ms. Shamgar said, you're home early. You got a lot of blood on your clothes. He said, well, honey, if you want to, you take the car, go to Walmart on the highway because the highway's open now. I wish I had some highway openers. Come on. I wish I had somebody that would say, this is my road. This is my destiny. This is my time. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I got everything I need. If a farmer could do it, God can use anybody that'll stand up. But sometimes I think what God does do is he don't go from the top down to get people because they got too much to lose. He chooses no names. Come on. He chooses people that don't have nothing to lose. He finds a family in the mountains of West Virginia or one in the hills of Tennessee or in the, come on, the plains of Ohio, and he says, right there is what I can use, because not many mighty and not many wise, but this is my road. This is my road. Come on, slap somebody, tell them, this is my road. Come on, stand on your feet all over this place. Get ready to come on and sing something, guys. I'm gonna take the highway home. Hallelujah. I'm tired of taking the path of least resistance. I imagine Joshua would look at Caleb every night and say, somebody's living in my house over in the promised land. I could have been living there 40 years if I had some folk with me the first time that believed. Somebody living in my house. Somebody eating my grapes. Come on, hallelujah. Somebody roasting my chickens. But I'm going to take the highway, and I'm going back to take... come on, somebody. I'm trying to get you to feel... I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I may not always feel like I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I might have been a coward at the campfire, but now I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I might have failed the Lord a bunch of times, but now I got the Holy Ghost. Not only do I got the Holy Ghost, I got a whole house full of power tools. I got prophecy. I got words of knowledge. There's miracles in me. Hallelujah. Jeremy used to crawl up over the sea when he's a little boy. He'd look at me and say, I'm amazed at the power of God that's in them hands. That's why I like it when little kids pray for me. They ain't been all through the stuff of doubt and unbelief, man. Hallelujah. You know, it's the last night tonight. I really don't know what all the Lord wants to do. I know one thing, if you don't have the Holy Ghost... don't leave here without it. Somebody said, well, do you have to speak in tongues to get it? Well, it's kind of like a pair of shoes. The tongues just comes with it. It's hard to tell what it ought to do. And it's not weird. But if you haven't received the Holy Spirit, then the first thing I want you to do is just ask the Lord for the Holy Ghost. Or ask somebody to pray with you, receive the Holy Ghost. Don't leave here without it. I mean, this is the atmosphere for it. But I feel like tonight, even, you know, because of this place, as a while ago when I said, how many of you got the Holy Ghost? The hands went up everywhere. Yeah. I kind of want to just feel like, you know, kind of like Lisa last night or the night she ministered it, that there's some gifts that are in these guys. There's some gifts, not, you know, and listen, and not always, listen, it may not always be gifts of prophecy or word of knowledge. You know, the Bible, that same text talks about administrations. It talks about helps. See, the unsung heroes of this camp are not on the platform. They're in the kitchen. Hallelujah. I came by while I ran out the house to do a quick errand. Came by, and there, Colleen's still down there cleaning a while ago. That's the unsung heroes. It's about, you know, listen, it's everything. Don't ever think it's not important. But there are gifts that God wants to activate and stir up in this place, that your world changers. Hallelujah. 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 Man, I look at this room and I see the giftings and even the ones that have already started to reach for their dreams and all kinds of stuff. And just say, you know what? Let God make them, you know, just like Daniel. They become the smartest and the wisest and the most gifted. Let's sing something. Let's just quickly come out of our seats if you want us to just pray a few moments and activate. Come on, men and women of God, pastors, counselors. Help me lay hands on these young folks tonight. Just come on and join me in this front. Hallelujah. Just begin. Come on, pastors, men and women of God. Come help us lay hands on some of these young people. Just begin to move through this crowd. And listen, young people, as the Lord moves on you, if you get something for somebody, go minister to them. Hallelujah. Stir it up. Stir it up, God. Stir it up, God. Stir it up, God. Stir it up. Break every chain. Stir it up, God. Stir it up, God. Stir it up, God. Stir it up, Lord. Stir it up, God. Stir it up, Lord.
can break it.